This is Pastor Bill bringing you another News in Focus. This is not so new, but it is new. Newer, rather. It's called Rutgers Law Professor Says Pedophilia is Not a Crime. Now, I wanted to mention this because it's floating around social media again. It's about 6 months old, but I wanted you to be aware of it in case you missed it when it was actual news. Now, I'm going to read just a certain part of this article until we get to a particular part of it, because some of it you're like, oh, that's scary, but I can kind of see that, all right? And then when we get to a certain part of it, I'm going to stop reading and we're going to talk, all right? So here we go. Pedophilia, a disorder, not a crime. Margot Kaplan is not very popular today. In the Monday edition of the New York Times, Rutgers Camden law professor at an NYU and Harvard grad takes an op-ed page to argue that we've all got it wrong when it comes to pedophilia, the love for little ones. She writes that pedophiles don't necessarily turn out to be child molesters and that pedophilia is not a choice. All right, so it's kind of like you can be a pedophile. You can be a pedophile in the emotional sense. You can love children, and she's going to go into more definition here soon, without taking part in child molestation. In other words, you can love it without taking part in it. We reached in her office in Camden to discuss. You really lit up the comments section of the op-ed page today, she responds. Yes, but I have to be honest, I'm getting more emails with support than I ever expected. Yeah, I'll bet you are. We're in a sex-crazy culture where people are trying to let others off the hook. All right, so I know your pain, says the interviewer. Who are you getting these positive emails from? She says, a lot of people I don't even know. There's a former prosecutor, a judge, a nurse, individuals with family members who have pedophilia. Question, how much of the population has pedophilia? Answer, we're not entirely sure, but the estimates are around 1% of male population, and those in the female population are assumed to be much smaller. So, again, the answer, she says, as far as number of people with pedophilia who do sex offend and who do not, there are a lot of assumptions but very little data. All right, so she's saying that there is a difference between pedophilia and sex offense. Okay, let's get that. All right. What that difference is, we hope to hear. The interviewer says, why is that we have little information? She says, there is so much stigma. There is very little reason to come forth and identify as a pedophile. There are no large-scale studies, no large treatment programs, no big research studies on this. I contacted the National Institutes of Health, and they don't spend any money on pedophilia. The interviewer says, but you are basically saying, hey, let's take it easy on pedophiles. She responds, well, I'm not saying that about sex offenders. I say they remain responsible for their conduct. We need to treat pedophiles before they offend. People see the word pedophile and think sex offender. People choose to sex offend. They do not choose to be pedophiles. All right, so get this. You're born with a desire to love kiddos. Y'all get that so far? Maybe you can see where this is going. This professor says that you were born as a pedophile, but you don't necessarily have to take part in pedophilia. You don't have to take part in sex offense in order to be a pedophile. Well, my next question is, and I hope she gets to it, and I remember reading it, my next question is, what is a sex offense? Okay, here's the interviewer. Since you say there are so many misconceptions, why don't you tell us what a pedophile really is? She answers, a person with an intense and recurrent sexual attraction to pubescent children who have not yet entered any form of puberty. And according to the Diagnostic Statistics Manual of Mental Disorders, it constitutes a mental disorder when you act on it. Now, let's get that again. And this is where I wanted to get to. It constitutes a mental disorder when you act on it. But not just that. It also constitutes a mental disorder if it causes marked distress or interpersonal difficulty, and as you can imagine, pedophilia will cause this. All right. Now, you can read the article is that much, again, longer. So it's twice as long as what I just read. But what I want you to see is it doesn't matter what she says at the end of the article to know where this mindset could lead. Let me read this line again. It constitutes a mental disorder if you act on it. All right. My mind is swirling. Let's get to it. So it's a person who has pedophilia, they're not a sex offender until they act on it. And even when they act on it, they have a mental disorder. Now, I've seen people in my short life consistently get charged with lesser charges and out on the streets in significantly shorter times because they were found to be insane or mentally unstable or whatever. All of a sudden, first degree murder is now second degree, or second degree is now third degree. Being a sex offender is now being unstable. I'm really concerned about where this could lead. When you have the Diagnostic and Statistic Manual of Mental Disorders saying that it is only a mental disorder when it causes interpersonal difficulty or marked distress and or when you act on it. I wonder how long ago we were saying that homosexuality wasn't wrong until you act on it. I wonder how long ago we were saying homosexuality isn't wrong until you act on it. When you act on it, it's only a mental disorder. I will say to you that because of the acceptance of bisexuality, homosexuality, transgenderism, being upgraded from a mental disorder to a sexual orientation, see, because they're saying that pedophilia is both. It can be both, and it's often both, because you want to be with pre-puberty children in a sexual way. But if you can't, it's a mental disorder. And if you do act on it, it's a mental disorder. Well, how could it not cause you distress if that's the only type you want to be with? So if it's the only type you want to be with, it causes mental distress, marked distress, it's a mental disorder. If you act on it, it's a mental disorder. How long until you think they're going to quit calling everyone that wants to be with pre-puberty children mentally distressed or mentally disordered? Especially when they know that you can't get a job if you have a mental disorder. Is everyone with me out there? Are you thinking through this here? How long until they start saying that pedophilia is no longer a mental disorder, it's an orientation? And then they're going to say something like, so long as you don't commit sexual abuse. Well, then I want to know, when will we start redefining it? You say, well, when you have sex with a child against their will. Well, are you really going to start setting things up to where you can have children who are pre-puberty, they haven't had the first major emotional or hormonal swing of their lives yet, at least to my knowledge. I have been through puberty, so I know how this works. When will the sexual consent age be 8, 9, 10? When will it no longer be sexual abuse? Have you not observed the realms of this world history and realized that in Afghanistan's of today, that you can have a pre-puberty boy and it was legal? It is legal. It's expected. Now, I say unto you that this is a very, very, very slippery slope. Now, you'll read the comments on this page and they'll be like, no, it's not a slippery slope. We just want to understand people. I do not wish to even entertain such commentary. We just want to understand people. All right, here's how you can understand them. We live in a sexually depraved world that hates God. Romans 1, Romans 2, 1 Timothy 4, check it out. We have in the last days seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. We have seduction and warped doctrine going hand in hand. And it is warped doctrine to say that it is acceptable to think about and fantasize being with a little child. It is unacceptable to say in any way that you can fantasize and think about and meditate on being with another man if you're a man, or another woman if you're a woman. Why? How do I know that? Because Jesus called it adultery when a man thinks about a woman. So, by application, we should not expect there to be spelled out in every time Jesus mentions it. We don't expect Jesus to have everything spelled out in the New Testament addressing every sin. In Jewish culture, you did not have this sort of thing happening. You did not have homosexuality happening. So what sense would it make for him to address that among that first century Jewish culture? It wasn't a Roman culture. It was a Jewish culture that had Romans as a part of it. But you take a trip over to the Senate of Rome, you're going to find people with their little boy toys. And what I'm trying to get you to see is, once you start this road of, well, he was born with that, so it's okay so long as he doesn't act on it, I promise you, homosexuality used to be that way. Somewhere decades ago, they said, it's okay if you have those feelings. It might just be a mental disorder, but if you act on it, it really is a mental disorder, and it's a crime. And then little by little, states started taking sodomy, anti-sodomy laws off the books. Now look, if you're listening to this and you're homosexual and you're getting angry with me, all I want you to do is understand this is not towards you. This is towards the person who is being illogical in their weighing of different sexual so-called orientations. I want them to see that this is where homosexuality used to be. And if you don't come along on this way of thinking, not only are you a silly conservative, but you are living in the dark ages and you believe a 2,000-year-old book. Are you telling me that for me to be a progressive in 100 years, I might have to... Are you telling me that I might have to believe that the earth doesn't go around the sun because someone comes up and says, hey, here's a new progressive thought, regardless of what history has proven to be a fact? So it is not a horrible sin to say, no, I already believe the truth and I'm not going with you on this way of thinking. You've got to see it. The way that we are going as a liberal society, you've got to see it does not pay to change what God says about certain sins. This is Pastor Bill, and I might be reduced to preaching to 7 or 8 under an oak tree somewhere, but God's word is still God's word, and I want you to know that in 10 years, 20 years, 50 years, if you have to network in the dark and find Christians in woodlines in America, the facts are still the facts. The truth is still the truth, and there is still a God who says there is still a right and wrong. And I would say to those struggling with pedophilia that it is a sin to fantasize about children in a sexual manner, and you need to put that out of your mind. And as Augustine would say, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh. Believe on Jesus Christ today for salvation from your sins and deliverance from the wrath of God. And do not blame being born with that desire on anything but our sinful father, Adam. We live in a world where we are tempted with sick things, but that does not mean that we need to let those things make a nest in our brain. I love you. Thanks for listening.